Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Frau Pow. We're your hosts, Odd and Rats. I have so many thoughts, Odd.
You have a face palm. No one can see it but me, but you have a literal face palm.
I do have a face palm.
Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
What's that about, my friend?
I just want to, like... I have a lot of things that are taking up my time and energy, and it's pissing me off. And I think the biggest thing that is pissing me off the most is that people want to work towards a change. And you know, this is specifically relating to the protests and Black Lives Matter movement, but also like any change, any positive change in the right direction. But like, they want to do this work, but they don't want to be held accountable for it. And that really just irks me, because do you really want to do this work then?
Yeah, I feel like we talk about this maybe even tangentially a lot. I mean, off mic and on mic.
Yes.
And, you know, we're recording this during Pride Month, and I think for me, it makes me ultra sensitive about these types of things, like infrastructural change. You know, at the organizational level, but also like other places, people don't want to do the work, and the work is uncomfortable and hard. You have to admit that you're wrong a lot and saying you don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really, really hard for people.
Yeah. I understand why it can be a really big turnoff to kind of like sift through your entire fabric of your being to be like, wow, a lot of my thoughts and feelings about a lot of this is wrong. And now I feel like an asshole. But it's kind of important. I mean, like, that's what you're doing for your mental health already. Like, why don't you do it for public health?
Yeah. I mean, I think that we all need to get past. And we had talked about this with Amanda, but like, you know, like getting past like the shame mm-hmm. and guilt over anything, like whether or not, no matter what it's applicable to, but like when you learn that you've done something wrong, whether like you've hurt someone's feelings or you
get criticism,
realize that a criticism, or I mean, even if you just realize you have been saying something that's really offensive, mm-hmm. It's just like you stop. You have to like say, I'm sorry. It feels bad and icky, you know, because you've hurt someone or hurt people, or you realize you were being like, you're the source of hurt,
yeah.
And or source of oppression or discrimination or whatever. And that's really hard. But like moving past that and just being like, okay, now I need to X, you know, and I think people are not good at like getting past the like defense of like someone telling you were wrong or you had done something to hurt them.
It's, I mean, let's face it, like you wouldn't want your significant other or a really close friend to tell you that you hurt them. And that is a really hard thing to work through. But a lot of times working through it is what strengthens your relationship, you know, and you have to understand that you are going to receive criticism in any direction, be it good or bad. And not all criticism is going to be bad. Some criticism is going to force you to think and keep pushing in the right direction. And if you shut down at that criticism, or if you shame yourself, if you guilt yourself, a lot of times that can be gaslighting to the person who has criticized you. And you just shut down. You just stop learning. Now, at the same time, like, it is really hard to, like, understand what's going through your brain and how to do any sort of action past that. To which, for me, I'm trying to learn how to say, let's pause this. I want to keep talking about it, but I need to pause so I can understand everything that you're saying and I can come back to you in a respectful manner. And so we can continue this conversation, but I'm not ready because I just need to digest.
Yeah.
And I think that takes a lot of maturity. And I think a lot of people are missing that because a lot of people don't know what it's like to receive actual criticism that would make you better. I think a lot of times our criticism is just tearing you down when it's not.
Well, I think it's just, yeah, maybe not even like calling it criticism, like, but saying, you know, someone telling, sharing their perspective, you know, like something like, and I hate reframing, like calling something different just to maybe make people feel better. But I think it's not always like a criticism of something, but just being like making someone aware of how their actions are being received, mm-hmm. whether that's by you or by a group of people or whatever. And
there needs to be a level of accountability to it. When you start on any sort of work, whether it's personal, mental / emotional, psychological, or like just work for your career, there are levels of accountability and there are levels of people who are checking in because they're relying on you to do that work, such as a therapist or your coworkers or a manager or a boss. And when you're doing this work for yourself personally, whether it's working on being anti-racist, working on, back to like the psychological aspect, it is okay to have friends to just check in and be like, I am working on this. I don't quite get it. Can we work through it? And I think bringing in somebody to just check in is a good way of creating an accountability buddy.
Or just, I think if someone says something to you also in those moments, like you're saying, this is probably just repeating what you were saying, but it's kind of like sinking in, just saying like, okay, and just pausing there. Like you don't even have to say thank you or sorry, I think in those moments, but you're saying like, thank you and acknowledging what mm-hmm. was said, but taking a moment, maybe going to see someone that you really trust to talk through kind of what happened, because I think a lot of the times we get stuck in our own perspective and our own experience, and that, you know, like you've said before, like we're our own like hero in the story, and so it's hard to see beyond that. And if someone can help you parse out some of those really important nuances, is like, that's so important. Or just someone who can help, you know, empower you to like research or, you know, offer a different perspective or anything like beyond just continuing to do what you're doing, I think is better than doing nothing. Like, even if it's just someone very, like, I'm thinking about things that I've heard from like my family, you know, just growing up and like hearing like one person, you know, at someone's work is like super sensitive in quotation marks, you know, and like, and my dad's like, well, I just, you know, I don't know what I have to change my language around this lady. I love my dad. He's just, you know, he's learning. But, you know, it's like, don't get stuck in that. Like, don't stop right there. Like, it's like, oh, like, why was that offensive to Susie Joe? Like, even if it only applies to Susie Joe, like, I value that person as a mm-hmm. human. And so I'm going to respect the request, even if it doesn't apply to anybody else. You know what
right,
I mean?
But, like, you don't have the right to tell somebody that you didn't hurt them if they told you that you hurt them. And I think it also goes to, it needs to be said that if somebody who is living an experience that you don't live, whether that person is trans or Black or Indigenous or any other nationalities, like any other marginalized groups.
Or I think just like, even if they look the same as you. They have the same class, gender, skin color. Their experience is going to be right. different.
But I think it's important to say that, like, these people are still the experts in their lives and their lived experiences. So when they correct you, when you say something about them, you don't get the right to argue.
Right. And I just, as someone who doesn't correct people all the time, it is a very vulnerable spot to be in, to have to, like, tell someone that they made a mistake. And especially as someone who's, like, a young person in their career, I'm definitely not in any sort of position of power, that it's very hard just in, like, terms of, like, power dynamics. Mm-hmm. Also just to get people to listen to me, and it is very hard to, like, tell people to correct how they talk about me. I still have a very hard time with it, and I think just that experience has really helped me gain an understanding of how hard it is for someone to say, like, that was really hurtful, or that was not cool, or, you know, that was a microaggression, whatever. And just, like, that alone takes a lot of vulnerability and strength to say. And so I think even just recognizing that is, like, a really good first step. Yeah. And then maybe it'll make you more, oh, I know what I was going to say earlier. Is that we were talking, you know, I work for a bunch of social workers, and we were all having a staff meeting and talking about how we were all feeling, and that's, you know, typical. But also, like, how do we talk about these things, both personally and professionally, everything that's been going on with all the protests. And also, I think a lot of us are struggling with how to talk about this with people outside of our field, because we're very attuned. Well, most of us, I mean, in my office at least, are attuned to, like, all the levels of inequality that are happening to people of marginalized groups. And so how do you talk to people who are outside of our realm about it and do so they learn and not just get yelled at? And I was saying that I was having trouble trying to teach empathy to people, and it felt like a really big struggle. And gonna ignore that. As someone who is a person of color in our group, and I'm so thankful for, just in life in general, has a very, like, optimistic view about these types of things, that she was like, you can teach empathy, and it's just like how you have to learn how to be anti-racist in a racist society that we're, you know, born into. Everyone is born into it, that you have to learn how to be empathetic. And, you know, because we all have gone to school and kind of learned how to build our empathy muscle, so to speak, that, you know, and obviously it's strong in some ways and weak in others, but that you have to teach people how to be empathetic in these cases, then it's really hard. And I think that's something that's really stuck with me. I think today I've been thinking a lot about it, and just, like, you know, people need empathy in order to actually make change and make it stick, especially if they're in a leadership position in some type of, like, organization, government, etc. And so, like, you know, they need to be held accountable, and they need to receive these critiques and these pieces of advice from people. But, like, they also have to have empathy, and it needs to not be a hollow performative act when they do respond.
Right. And I think that sometimes not knowing how to respond is understandable, and taking the time mm-hmm. to actually acknowledge that, be like, look, I don't know how to respond to you at this moment, but I want to respond to you properly. And you know, you're throwing so much information at people, and there's a part of me that's saying, like, suck it up, like, deal with it. You have a job to do with your privilege. But then there's another part of me that's like, but also you have to undo a lot of work and a lot of things that you know about yourself. So it is okay for you to take the step back and say, I have to learn this and I want to respond to you. Just give me a second to work through this. Because mm-hmm. you don't mm-hmm. want to just react with this hollow performative action. And
or I think even worse, like a defensive like reaction. Right.
And like honestly, and I'm saying this as a white person, but I would almost say that silence is better than just performative reactions. Like I would yeah. rather sit there silently in my discomfort trying to learn and work it out than go ahead and say something that you don't know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, mm-hmm.
but it's sorry. Also, I think that it's like not an excuse though. Like, I mean, I'm someone who is like not very active on social media in terms of like speaking about these things. And not because I'm silent in my off social media, but I think that it's really important that if you're going to be the silent type and learning and trying to understand things and really digging deep, that you're doing that action and not just staying silent and taking it as an excuse to not do research yeah. or not listen.
Yeah. If you're going to be silent, please be silently doing the work as well.
Yeah. It doesn't mean inaction.
You know, and I kind of understand how a lot of Black and people of color feel about
mm-hmm.
like having to constantly, you know, tell people why their lives matter, as I've been spending a lot of time arguing with people to try to get them to fucking shut up and understand it. And this isn't to say that I empathize, like, because there's no way that I can even begin to like fully live that experience.
Of course. I mean, but you can.
But I am so sick. Yeah, try to enlighten someone. Of, like, the fucking ignorance. Please do the work. I don't know how to tell you that you should care about people.
Yeah. I don't know why that's such a hard concept. I mean, it just goes back to, again, like, someone's like, you're hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone being like, fuck you.
Be like, I don't understand why I'm hurting you as I'm kicking you in the ribs repeatedly.
Yeah, I just like that to me. I'm like, I don't understand. Or like, that doesn't involve me. You know, like, it's so crazy. It's just so crazy to me. And, you know, I was like heading into this recording and I was like, we're going to talk about something really funny and light. And now I'm like real fired up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
I said to you before we started recording, I am like, I'm ready to fight somebody. Like yeah. very specific people. Yeah. Like I have some targets right now, but I am ready to fight some people who just don't shut the fuck up. Like, you're wrong. Many people are telling you that you're wrong. Shut up. That's where I'm at right now.
I know. I just be like, I'm sorry. Or just say thank you for all of your feedback. You know, like, I don't know what to do anymore. And if you're afraid of that happening, like, I've seen that excuse. Like, I'm afraid of being shut down, or I'm afraid of blah, blah, blah. Like, retribution or whatever. Like, then maybe you should think about what you're, like, gonna say and why that would be offensive to other people.
Yeah. And also, like, please do not dirty delete. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Don't
fucking do it. Now, it's okay for you to, like, delete something because you realize that, like, you misworded it and that's not how you want to say it. And then you come back and, like,
yeah.
you say, oh, I deleted this and that's not what I wanted to say. Here's what I want to say instead. I think that is okay. But if you delete something, there's no accountability for it.
Right.
You know? And I'm thinking about, like, those black squares and everything and, like, I posted one and then I deleted mm-hmm. it and then I reposted saying I posted this and then I deleted it because it felt fake. And here is why.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move on. I posted it saying like why I had it, why I deleted it. And that's my accountability. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you dirty delete something, you lose the accountability. And also people start to lose, like, the respect and, like, just the faith of wanting to be with you if you don't have the accountability when you are getting defensive.
Right. And just, like, you need to realize that defensiveness is, you have to, like, navigate through that. Like, you can, I mean, I think talk about this all the time in therapy, you know, like I get really defensive a lot and you have to understand why and like navigate through that before responding.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, just start talking, just start the conversation, but be willing to listen. Don't wait your turn to talk. Be willing to listen. You can't be wrong, or sorry, let me rephrase that. You can't be 100% right, but if you know what is 100% wrong, start the ball rolling, because you thinking that you need to know everything, you thinking that like you need to be 100% positive what you're saying is going to, in order for you to like actually say something, that's going to stop you from learning. That's going to stop you from doing a lot of things. And sometimes you need to start the conversation and then pull back and go, this is a really good point. Thank you. Especially when people are taking a lot of their time to fucking educate you. But yeah, that's how I feel. Don't dirty delete. And
don't dirty and delete.
If you ever have a question about whether or not to start a conversation because you want to learn, start the conversation. If you're going to play shy because you feel like you are going to be made to look like a fool, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, you need to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it means uncomfortable, and like also that maybe you feel like you're going to be a fool because you don't know. And it's fine if you don't know. And I think, again, like, silence on social media doesn't mean inaction.
Right.
So I think that that's okay if that's how you function best. Like, totally fine, because that's where I am. It's not something I like doing. It's not something I'm comfortable doing for a lot of reasons. And so just play at your strengths, but don't be inactive about it. Like, this is not a time to be idle. In whatever ways that you can be participating, like whether that's learning or donating money or engaging with in conversations or trolling people, whatever it is, you know, like, you need to do those things. But like, and it doesn't look the same for everybody.
Yeah.
But like, do something.
Yeah, somebody, I'm gonna end on this note. Mm-hmm. I had a friend post, I think it was like last night, about how some of y'all have never taken the higher ground and it shows. And I commented and I was like, do I have to take the higher ground if I'm trolling bigots?
I mean, I thought you were going to say trolls, because that would be funnier, because it's a higher ground and they're yeah, that would have been better. Sorry to ruin your joke.
But
that's my critique.
Thanks.
My criticism for you. Jerk. Oh, man. Look at those guns. They look good from this angle. Thanks.
I did arms today.
Thanks for listening. How do you all stay active in your communities where you're noticing that some change needs to be made? Let us know if you've had any good or bad experiences. We want to know what you guys do to be effective. You can send us an email at fraupalpodcast@gmail.com, or you can always talk to us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at fraupalpodcast. We love when you guys comment or send us messages. It makes us really happy, and we love hearing from you and about all of your awesome ideas. Okay. One, two, three.
Black Lives Matter.